the Public News Service DOA Newscast, May the 22nd, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. A new move from the federal government takes a step toward modernizing the process of building energy transmission lines while also protecting wildlife, our Eric Tegetoff explains.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has approved the Transmission Planning and Cost Allocation Rule, which will help the country meet its growing need for clean energy. Head of Idaho Wildlife Federation Brian Brooks says the rule also takes into account wildlife by focusing on existing infrastructure, which will make Idaho a hub for clean energy and transmission lines.
This rule will absolutely have an impact on Idaho transmission and minimize the impact that that infrastructure will have on our fish and game species here in the Gem State.
A study from the U.S. Energy Department found the country needs to double its regional transmission capacity to meet its 2035 clean energy goals. The rule requires planning at least 20 years into the future.
And former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani entered a not guilty plea Tuesday to 9 felony charges stemming from his role in an effort to overturn Trump's 2020 election loss in Arizona to Joe Biden. That from the Associated Press. The AP reports 10 others, including former Arizona Republican Party Chair Kelly Ward, also pleaded not guilty to conspiracy, forgery, and fraud charges related to the case. The indictment alleges Giuliani spread false claims of election fraud in Arizona after the 2020 election and presided over a downtown Phoenix gathering, where he claimed officials made no effort to determine the accuracy of presidential election results. And the impact of that technical glitch overhauling the student financial aid form is still being felt. A Minnesota nonprofit reminds college students tuition aid is still available and its new digital tool can help with the process.
Issues that stem from a redesign of the free application for federal student aid have left families scrambling to secure loans, grants, and scholarships before sending their kids off to college in the fall. North Star Prosperity Executive Director Mike Dean says even as the kinks are sorted out, FAFSA completion in Minnesota is down 16%. His group partnered with a national organization to develop an online tool to serve as a go-between.
It essentially is an AI-powered FAFSA advisor that can be available 24/7.
He encourages graduating high school students and their families still figuring out college plans to give the platform, named Wyatt, a try. A lot of these decisions are often made by early May, but Minnesota's deadline for accessing aid this coming school year is June 30th of 2025. I'm Mike Moen.
The Minnesota Office of Higher Education says applying now to figure out which types of aid you qualify for can help you make a more informed decision about enrollment. This is Public News Service. And Governor Mark Gordon will address folks in Wyoming this week to detail new avenues for property tax relief.
Following the pandemic, property values in Wyoming increased, and so did property taxes, which jumped nearly 50% between 2019 and 2023, according to the Wyoming Department of Revenue. Lawmakers passed several bills during the recent session to act as pressure relief valves for property owners, offering a variety of tax breaks over the next few years. The mix of beneficiaries, application requirements, and timelines is complex. So Gordon and Department of Revenue Director Brenda Henson will speak directly to taxpayers via a teletown hall on Friday. Tom Laycock with AARP Wyoming, which is hosting the event, says the changes have been years in the making.
The property tax conversation has been going for the last 3 years. We've seen a number of bills, last year double-digit bills, to try to provide that property tax relief.
The state has been hogtied by a 1988 rule in the Wyoming Constitution that says all forms of property must be taxed, including commercial, industrial, and residential. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Nearly $33 million from President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law is headed to Colorado to help locate and remove hazardous lead pipes from the state's 900 community drinking water systems.
Lead water pipes were once commonly used because they were cheap and flexible, but were banned in 1986 over health concerns. Ron Falco with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment says young children are most at risk for lead exposure because their bodies are still developing.
And over time, that lead can build up, and even at low levels in the water, cause health effects. Those health effects can include learning difficulties, loss of appetite, hearing loss, or harm to brain development.
I'm Eric Galatis.
The effort is part of Biden's agenda to generate economic opportunities by investing at least half of the money in historically underserved neighborhoods, including communities of color. Finally, from Shantia Hudson, North Carolina's maternal death rate is higher than the national average.
One North Carolina woman is determined to shed light on the signs and symptoms through her own experience. Tasheen Mamak is a healthcare patient advocate well aware of the increased risk of heart disease during pregnancy, but she was taken by surprise when it affected her. Mack says she was about 21 weeks pregnant when she began experiencing concerning symptoms.
I noticed that I was gaining weight, significant amount of weight, and having a hard time breathing. I could walk 3 steps and just have a hard time breathing. So, you know, I was going to my doctor's appointment, asking my doctor originally, like, what's going on?
The American Heart Association recommends expectant mothers discuss the signs and risks of heart disease with their doctor. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.